Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning, everybody, on this lovely Saturday morning. We are glad to have you with us.
Yes, thank you for joining us on our humble little show, as we like to refer to it.
As you like to refer to it.
It is. It's our humble little show. So yes, I'm proud of our humble little show.
I'm proud of it, too.
Okay. So I was just thinking about our little intro that plays before we come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it says that we talk about sports and pop culture and all that stuff. And a little bit of pop culture this morning. We got the royal wedding going on mm-hmm. behind us.
Well, they got married quite a bit earlier. I'm into the whole thing, but I'm not into getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning to watch it. I know it'll be on later, but
yeah,
we have it on behind us on Hulu, and it's quite a spectacle, and I'm really happy for the two of them. I think they're a great couple. I think both of the princes are just amazing.
Yeah,
I think the fact that they stand up for mental health is fantastic. So I think it's a good call for the two of them to get hitched.
I think Diana would be proud of both of them.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely she would.
So rest in peace.
Yes.
But anyway, today our guest is someone who, if you follow the show from the very beginning, you're quite familiar with him.
You might be quite familiar with him just from being on the internet.
Well, that too. You know, I mean, he's around. He's a hell of a guy, and he's amazing. He's an incredible advocate, and he's our first fourth-timer on the show.
Are you sure it's four times? I think it's three, and he called in on four.
No, it's four, because we had him on the original show,
mm-hmm.
and then we had him on with us, and then we had him for the roundtable.
Oh, right.
See? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. So this is time number four.
We're going to have him a jacket, like a yellow jacket.
Yeah, we got to get it some kind of crazy jacket made up.
Yeah,
you know.
The patch with our logo on it.
Yeah, that would be really cool. We should get those. Or maybe just a t-shirt. I don't know.
Yeah, just a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But anyway, please take a moment to welcome to our show, Mr. Rudy Caceres.
Well, hello. That is quite the intro. And to be your only four-time guest on the Voices for Change show, that is quite the honor. Although I still want to be your first in-person guest. I'm making my way. I'm actually near Boston, Massachusetts right now. I'm on vacation, but I heard from you, Rebecca. We need a guest for this week. And he was like, you know what? I got to be here. I got to support you, Rebecca and Joe, because this show is where it's at. And it's a little weird because I'm used to doing a show at 8 a.m. in the morning. So it's like, I've been up for quite a while. So it just feels weird, but I'm getting used to it. And like, who knows, maybe number five, I'll be in your neck of the woods.
We'd be fine with that. You know, I'll get all in our PJs. Yeah.
It's just the two of us sitting up here in front of a computer and our microphone, and all we have in the background is cats. So
yeah,
you, some space for you.
You may end up with a cat on your lap. So be warm.
Cool. Are you in the same room right now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That was one thing that was a nice change from the first show is, you know, for those who don't know, when we did our first show, we didn't have a fancy schmancy microphone. We had these headsets with mics on them, and we couldn't be in the same room together because, number one, the computer wouldn't accommodate it, and number two, there'd be really, really bad echo.
Mm-hmm.
So Beck would be up here in our room, and I would be down in our office, and, you know, any type of talking behind the scenes we had to use some kind of book communicator or something to, you know, hey, ask about this or what have you. So when we were getting ready to do this show, we're like, you know what, we're going to step it up a little bit, and we got this nice fancy microphone from Blue Microphones. Shout out to Blue. Woohoo! And
it's called a Yeti.
Yes,
and it's awesome. It even looks cool. I like to keep it sitting out on my desk. It looks like a broadcasting award or something, like the shape of an award somebody would make.
It looks like the one that used to be on Letterman's desk.
Yeah.
So,
I used to own that mic.
Yeah.
I used to host a podcast. Yeah, I hosted a podcast maybe like a few years ago, and let's just say it lasted not too long, long enough where I was able to return it within the Amazon return window. So,
oh jeez,
there's that.
Oh, I feel bad for you. I want to hug you.
Thank you. Well, good thing is that I'm back. I'm doing these podcasts. I get to be other people's guests. That's a big weight off my shoulders. Just go on other shows. Like I was on a different podcast that just came out yesterday. I'm on your show, so that's great. And then I started doing my video show, which is just a whole another beast to wrangle with.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we're going to talk about that. We're going to ask you about that in a few minutes. But we gotta get people
working.
Yep. We got to start at the beginning because I'm sure that there are a few people listening that haven't heard your story. So why don't you go ahead and tell us where your mental health journey begins?
Yeah, and if you're listening to this right now, please call in. No one has called in to talk to me yet, and that's kind of heartbreaking.
Okay, I'll give the number out since you mentioned that. Thank you. It's 347-989- 0126
or,
if you would like to call and talk to Rudy.
Or 0126 for those of you that like zeros.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah, I know Andy Berman's listening, so Andy, call in.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Hi, Andy.
Yeah, hey, Andy.
So, yeah, you can talk about Big Pharma. Hi, my name is Rudy Caceres, and I've been on this show 4 times. I think each time I'm on this show, there's another progression in my life, both professionally and personally. I feel like each time I'm on your show, like my career just like skyrockets to the next level.
Mm,
so
cool.
When I was on your show, when I was on your show the first time, like I was starting to get to a good place. Like I was finally living on my own and just trying to find my way in the world. Like I was starting to do public speaking. And then the second time, almost a year later, it was just like night and day as far as doing a lot of traveling and doing even more speaking at even bigger places and doing a lot of writing and video stuff. The third time, the panel is like, oh my God, it's just like things were exploding. I think I started doing No Restraints by then, and I was doing more stuff with The Mighty and This Is My Brave. And now here I am. And who knows when I'm on the fifth time, like I might be like president or something. So you probably want to know more about my life, but so I mean I've dealt with mental health issues my entire life, but I wasn't diagnosed with bipolar until just fairly recently, probably like maybe early 2015. Like even when I was in the Army and I had a mental breakdown, I had a catatonic episode and was hospitalized, ended up in the psych ward and then discharged, like I still wasn't diagnosed with bipolar. I actually had a diagnosis of schizophrenia because of the catatonic episodes. So when I had my first like real manic episode, it lasted like over 2 months. That's when I realized that I was bipolar. Like I had to like convince others because like they, especially like my doctors and therapists, because I stopped seeing them. But I didn't let that be a complete brick wall. I knew it would be a hard thing to overcome. And I don't even know if overcome is the right thing, because I'm still bipolar and I've learned to not only accept it, but embrace it. And when I say embrace it, I don't mean like, hell yeah, bipolar, greatest thing in the world. It's like, no, this is my thing. This is part of my journey. And I'm going to make of it the best of it that I can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the way you have to look at it. There's, you know, if you pick any other path, you know, guilt or shame or, you know, grief or any of those other things, you know, once you get your diagnosis, you're not, in my opinion anyway, you're not as likely to prosper in life as, you know, as you would if you kind of faced it head on and just said, hey, this is me, this is my thing, this is what I got to deal with, let's do it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's It's no different than looking at a diagnosis of, and I bring this up a lot because this is me, having a diagnosis of diabetes. You know, you at first you're like, ah, and then you're like, okay, well, how do I live with this? What do I need to do? What do I need to, you know, change in my life to, you know, have a thriving life and, you know, make the most of my life that I can. You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, just an incredible outlook for you to have, Rudy. And, you know, I saw that, you know, I was looking at your website last night a little bit just for part of the research and, you know, reading one of your blog pieces, and it really hit home for me, you know, because you were talking about that, you know, it's not good, it's not bad, it just is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and I think we're often taught that it's bad and there's no alternative mm-hmm. perspective. So that's all I try to do is offer alternatives and give voice to other people to present their alternative perspectives. That way more people are well informed. If you want to see it as this awful thing that needs to be cured, by all means, I'm not going to stop you. I just want more and more people to be able to be more well-rounded in how they view these issues.
Absolutely. And,
exactly.
And I feel like at this point in time, there's no excuse for anyone to be uneducated about these issues. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can get online and find out anything you want nowadays. And, you know, I don't want to say I resent, but I'm not a big fan of these people that come online and, you know, are all talking about how we've chosen to be depressed, and if we just thought positively that, you know, life would be grand and, you know, all of this, then the other thing. And it's like, look,
yeah.
if you just did a little research before
yeah.
you speak.
Going for a run isn't necessarily going to make me feel better.
Right.
You know,
unless you are, you know, we know somebody, Stevie,
mm-hmm.
who runs, and she, it's a really big thing for her. She's, you know, really into it. She's good at it, so you know that
yeah.
that is something that supports her lifestyle. Unfortunately, we didn't.
Yeah,
we didn't,
I don't
get that gene.
Yeah, unless I'm being chased by a bear, I'm not running.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So,
you know.
Yeah, you know, I love bike riding, especially first thing in the morning. But it's not like that feeling that like the dopamine keeps mm-hmm. me going throughout the day. Like eventually I'll settle back into my baseline depression. And that's
right.
That
right.
is what it is. One of the things I've had to learn, it's not necessarily a bad thing to be depressed. I feel not enough people are okay with being depressed. It's just part of the human experience. Now, obviously I don't want to get so depressed that I start like contemplating suicide, but it has taught mm-hmm. me to be a more empathetic person, to take time to recognize what I'm feeling and why, to be more introspective and to kind of slow down at times, to practice self-care. I mean, we always talk about self-care in the mental health world, but like,
yep.
it's like not enough people are doing it outside of that. Like, I feel like we're at the forefront of self-care and promoting that and making it feel like a normalized thing. And I think that's one of the great achievements in the mental health community. And I want to spread that around. I wish more people would be aware of this concept and practice it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard though. I'll tell you, just for me personally, I have this overwhelming feeling of guilt that builds up when I'm taking care of myself and not trying to, not to worry about other things that are going on around me. And I think it's, I need to find within myself, I need to find that place.
That okayness.
Yeah. That lets me be okay with that. And I can understand why some people find it difficult, but I agree with you that it's definitely being promoted more and more. I see it more and more online and, you know, all over Twitter. And
yeah.
I think that you're right, that we have made some really giant steps in, you know, in pursuing a happier lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. There's days where Beck will send me a message where she's like, I'm a waste of space and all this stuff. And I have to talk her through it and say, hey, look, you're having a bad day today. and there's nothing wrong with that. That's quite okay. You know, take some time for you. You know, I mean, things are going to get done, you know, one way or another. You're going to do them or I'm going to do them, but they're going to get done. You know, the most important thing is that, you know, you're getting yourself to a good place in your head, you know?
Yeah. It's not easy to do, but I try.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, Rebecca, I have feelings like that too. And I used to tell myself that once I start having more success, that I wouldn't have those feelings anymore. And that is so wrong. And I talk to people that are way more successful than me, but they still deal with those, that self-doubt and those, self-image issues. And it can be a hard thing to deal with because it's not reality. And that's the hard thing. There's a lot of depression that's based in reality, but things like that, they are not. And, but we just keep telling it to ourselves over and over again, because we're seeing all the negative things that we do, whether it be like us screwing up of somehow, like I went up on my lines and like in a speech, or like I had a technical issue doing no restraints, or so on and so forth. It's those are the things that I focus on, whereas everyone else, they couldn't care less, because they think that all the great things that I'm doing is this momentous thing. And like for me, like I think I'll always deal with that. I think I'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, otherwise I'm just gonna crack someday. But that's just part of my life, and it's not going to change no matter how successful I get.
Yeah, I get that. I would go through that with back when I was playing in bands. You know, we'd have a show and something would go wrong for me during the show. And the one that stands out really, really bad for me is the very last show I did with my band. I was having a problem with my amplifier, and it was a power problem. The thing was underpowered. I was plugged into a bad plug, I found out after we got done playing. And that's all I could focus on the entire show, was that I sounded like crap and I was distracted. And everybody after the show, including Beck, was coming up to me and saying, "Hey, you guys did great. You're this, you're that,
yeah,
blah,
I had
blah,
no
blah."
Idea.
She had no idea. And I was fit to be tied, because it was our last show. And instead of just enjoying the experience of being on stage the last time with these guys, I let that get to me. And, that tainted that memory for me for the last seven years. So what are you gonna do?
So Rudy, why don't you tell us about your new weekly podcast, No Restraints?
Yeah, you know, I first started interviewing people on Facebook Live pretty much a year to this date. I just got the Facebook thing that told me that. And it started out as a way I wanted to find a way to collaborate with this person named Emily Roberts, who we were both doing videos for the website Healthy Place at the time. And we were both admired each other's work. And I wanted to find a way to interview each other on Facebook Live, but there wasn't a way to do that. And finally, I found out about this program called BeLive.tv, and I tried it out. It worked. That was the one thing that blew my mind. It's like, oh my God, it worked. We didn't break Facebook. And Emily and I, we did it a few more times, and I've since had her on like once this year, just because she's just amazing. She's the kind of person where I can just ask her a simple question and she can roll with it. I can basically ask her anything and she's going to have a great response to it. I look back on some of those early interviews. It's just, for me, I mean, definitely to me, it's rough, because I'm just like feeling my way through in the dark, and just, I'm not an interviewer person. I didn't set out to do that. Like I said, I just wanted to collaborate with her, and then other people approached me and was like, "Hey, like, can we do something like that too?" And then I was starting to do it every week. And then it was getting to December where I was like, man, like, I've been doing this for a while. I've had on all these guests. This is kind of a thing, and there's no turning back. Because it's getting a response. There's lots of great engagement, viewers, new people coming on, new people following me. And so why not brand it? Why not just commit, go all in? So I came up with the name No Restraints. My first official episode was the first Friday of January. And of course, my guest was Emily Roberts, of course. And from then, it's just kind of been a weekly thing. I don't think I've taken a break since then. I mean, I do a Facebook Live for the Mental Health on the Mighty page on the second Friday of the month. But otherwise, I'm always doing No Restraints. And so I did one on Friday, yesterday. My God, in Boston, in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I had a guest, Dr. Dan Fisher, CEO of the National Empowerment Center, one of the driving forces for the Alternatives Conference coming up in Washington, D.C. in about a month. So that's 2 months. That is an awesome thing to do, just like interview these awesome people that I normally wouldn't have a reason to talk to in video form. Because a lot of these people, we will share messages or comment each other's posts, and we've known each other for a year, two, or three. But this is an awesome way, the Facebook Live format, to be able to talk to these people and have a meaningful conversation. It's a great thing. And like, there's deal with all the technical issues, all that stuff. That's totally worth it. The good far outweighs the bad, because no one else was doing it at the time. There's a couple more shows that has the interview split screen format, and I think that's a great thing because it's an awesome format. But since no one was doing that at the time, it kind of like helped me differentiate and find my niche. So no restraints with your host, Rudy Caceres. You know who's going to be my guest this coming Friday?
Who?
I'll let Rebecca guess.
It's me.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. She doesn't tell me anything.
Oh. Yeah, I do. I tell you
okay.
Everything.
Well,
we've been married almost
17
years.
Friend, yeah. Yes. No restraints. No secrets between you two. Come on. You should know better. Rebecca is going to be my guest. That's coming Friday.
There's no secrets.
It's been a long time
coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm a little bit nervous about the whole video thing. I have a face for radio. So.
You do not. You're going to have to remember to take that piece of tape off the camera, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to be great.
Oh,
yeah. Well, she already is great. When she tells me stuff.
You know any people that I've interviewed where they've never done anything like this before? Well, I mean, like, well, as far as like the split screen interview format, it's probably like 100% mm-hmm. of people. But you know any people that I've interviewed where they came in so nervous, or they had never done Facebook Live, they've never done video? And I've done like stuff where This Is My Brave, where I host another show called Brave Chat Live on Wednesdays, and oftentimes I'm interviewing people who are not like social media savvy, so they might have shared their story, or they might have been a producer of a show or a major funder. But that's totally fine. Like 9 times out of 10, they have a great time. It's fun, and the time passes by, and that's what I love about it. Like some of these shows, like yesterday, it went past the hour mark, and I felt like I could have gotten more and more and more. It's a great thing. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna have a great time, Rebecca Lombardo, author of It's Not Your Journey.
It's
nice
written plug. It's written on the calendar. That's why I assumed you knew. But
I didn't. Yeah, I haven't looked at that. So,
I forgive you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe that was like a plea. Yeah, maybe you thought that was like a plea to you. Like, please do not use restraints on me that day.
Well, you know, yeah. We're going to let that, yeah.
So, you have also been working with This Is My Brave. You've got a relatively new position with them, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, like I've known Jennifer Marshall, the co-founder and executive director of This Is My Brave, for it's like 2015, and I've been to a couple shows. I was a cast member of the 2017 Los Angeles show, and that was a great thing. That's on YouTube right now as well, and I've kept in touch with her. Like anytime I'm in the DC area, I'll see her. We've bumped into each other at other conferences across the country, and so she reached out to me maybe like in January, February. She wanted me to start doing Facebook Live like I was doing with No Restraints for the This Is My Brave Facebook page, where I'd interview different alumni of past shows and producers and things of that nature. And it's been great so far. It's a little different from my usual show, because obviously it's centered around This Is My Brave and getting people to praise it. I'm just praise, of course, and to get more people engaged, especially with our alumni, who oftentimes they kind of slide away, or they move on, and we want to reassure them that you're always can be a part of This Is My Brave family. Doesn't matter if you are in a show 3-4 years ago, we still want you to feel like you're in this community and find new ways to highlight your work you do, because oftentimes people that do a show and they get inspired to do even more stuff. I've interviewed people who have written memoirs as a result of doing that experience. It was such a watershed moment in their life, because oftentimes they've never even shared their story publicly or even with their family and friends. So that's been a great thing. That's every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, facebook.com/thisismybrave. And now the most new thing is that I'm going to be producing the 2018 Los Angeles show on September 22nd. That's an exciting thing. Oh. I mean, I've hosted own storytelling events in my community that have been very not on the same level as This Is My Brave. This is by far the biggest undertaking in my life. Like, I'm talking about like trying to fill a theater with 1,000 plus people, and that is huge. And like, first off, I was thinking like, okay, well, you're not going to sell it out, and that's totally fine. Like, maybe if you do like 200, 300, 400 tops, like that's a huge achievement. But I learned very fast, if I go in that mindset, then that's all I'm going to aim for. If I aim the field of theater and it's like halfway full, that's still way better than setting my expectations low and sticking to that. So that's what I got going on. I have auditions on June 10th and June 16th. Hopefully we can get the link down there, because people can audition. If you're in the LA area, like, doesn't matter. Like, if you feel like driving, like, I don't care where you're from. Like, people have like come from out of state to be a part of the show. If you'd be down for that, I'd love to see you, and get in touch with me. You can sign up at the link of 15-minute block. It's 5 hours. So I think that's around maybe 40 available spots. So it's not a ton, and they're starting to fill up. So if you're in the LA area or you're willing to drive down, fly down, please get a hold of me. If you have a story worth sharing, even if you're on the fence, please, please, please. I want to see as many people. I don't want to have any free blocks of time during those two audition dates.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely. Yeah, I wish we could, I wish we were in that area that we could be involved in somehow, you know, because that would be a blast. It'd be, you know, a lot of fun to be a part of that in some way, you know.
Yeah, and This Is My Brave does shows all over the country, so if there's ever one in your area, by all means, go check it out. You don't have to audition. Like, I saw a show in the audience, and then I was in a show, so some people it starts out that way. And that goes out to everyone listening, that This Is My Brave is nationwide. They've even had a few shows in Australia, so please go check it out. Thisismybrave.org. You will thank me later, eventually.
All righty. Well, on that note, we are going to take our first break. I think we're a little bit late.
That's okay.
So we'll be back on the other side. This is Preston Wiggins with Into the Unknown.
Don't you want to?
Welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe. This is Rebecca sitting next to me. And if you're just tuning in, and you should have tuned in from the very beginning for this show, because we are talking to the wonderful, the talented, the handsome Rudy Caceres.
Yes, and we are taking your phone calls.
We are. The number, if you want to call in, is 347-989-0126.
I'm sorry that I don't say zero, honey.
It's not an O. It's a zero.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I had to learn that the hard way in the Army.
Yep. Yeah, we're going on 17 years of marriage, folks.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Figure it out by 18.
Yeah.
Are you going to have a special 20th anniversary show?
I don't know if we'll still be doing this show when we're married for 20 years.
I hope we will be. It'd be nice, maybe. You know. It'd be cool having the show go that long. You know.
Yeah, it would be. I just don't think that far ahead.
Yeah,
too much pressure.
So far in the future, yeah. Like you'd probably be doing like holograms or stuff like that, like time travel show or something.
Flying cars.
That would be cool. I'm really pissed that we don't have flying cars yet. Although some people are working on it.
Do not get me started. Okay, moving on. That's a sore point for me.
I watched a lot of Jetsons growing up, so, you know, that's my thing. But, I'm miffed that things aren't the way they were in Back to the Future for us already when he goes in the future.
Now we're going to have to get over that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Come on.
I know, like, even Minority Report, like, come on. Yeah. I want my magnet cars.
That's probably coming pretty soon too, you know. But
so, are you still doing speaking engagements as well?
Yeah, no, it's kind of slowed down. Like I thought, like the more online presence I would have, the more speaking work I would get. But it's like the exact opposite. But the speaking work that I do is great. Like I feel like I'm like just how like I feel more confident and sharp as an interviewer. I feel like I'm more confident and sharp as a public speaker, and it can be hard at times to try to psych myself up because it's like, oh, I've told this story so many times. But usually when I'm on there, when I'm in front of the audience, I'm fully on and I get so engaged. I get so into it. It just like brings so much life into me. I can be having the worst day and not want to do it. I've thought about that at times. It's like, you know what? This is not, like, I don't know if I can do this today. Like I've done this a million times and it's just kind of getting old. And then I get on there and it's like, yes, this is why I do it. It's a great thing. I mean, I've had bigger speaking engagements. Like I got to speak at the state capitol last year alongside people like Richard Dreyfuss and Kevin Briggs and Paul Gilmartin, host of the Mental Illness Happy Hour. I got to speak at the Kaiser Permanente National Quality Conference at the Disneyland Hotel in Anaheim. Those things are cool, and that's exciting, and I wish I could do more of that. So be on the lookout for more and more fun stuff like that in the future, because that kind of stuff, it's just those are life-changing moments.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from with the kind of feeling like you didn't want to do it that day. That's kind of a struggle for me as well. You know, I've actually been struggling the last few days quite a bit. And I've mentioned it online and I've gotten a lot of support from people and I'm really, really grateful for that. But it's like there's a podcast me and there's a regular life me, and I have to get up and I have to be this person that I have to dig really deep to find to be able to do this show and to sound up and everything. And I can, you know, turn it off and go back to moping around as soon as the show's over with. But I understand where you're coming from with that. It's hard, especially like this is for me getting up early. I know that's pathetic, but this is getting up early for me, and I have to think about getting up and you know, presenting myself to the public in a positive light, and it's a struggle.
And it's funny because for me it's sleeping in.
Yeah.
So. You know,
yeah, and sorry, and Rebecca, like I had mentioned to you offline how I was actually thinking of taking a break from No Restraints because I just felt like I'm doing all these things because I'm also doing Brave Chat Live and I'm doing all this stuff for the Mighty as well, and it's like part of me is like, I need to, like, I felt like I wasn't doing enough work in like all the advocacy I was trying to do with anti-force treatment and talking about other things. And it was just like, felt like I'm either promoting one show or I'm doing a show or like doing like afterwards, like promoting the show and all that stuff. And like, I just felt like, I was like, oh my God, like I'm doing all this Facebook Live and I don't have time to do other kinds of advocacy that I really am passionate about, because like when it's the show, like the guest is the guest and like I have to highlight them, but it's like, I also have views I want to get across that I don't like forcing, like insisting, like inserting into the conversation when it's just like, I'm trying to have a conversation with the guests and have them talk about their things and promote their stuff. So yeah, that was the thing where like, I was like, oh man, like, I don't know if I can keep doing this and still do all the other things, but I'm glad I stuck with it because I get to have you as my guest this coming Friday at 12 PM Pacific, 3 PM Eastern, facebook.com/.
Oh my
yes.
goodness.
You know, it's funny too that you mentioned the, you know, when you're on stage and beforehand you have that attitude of, you know, I've told this story so many times, but then you get up there and you're telling it and you get in the zone and you're fine. I can definitely, I know how that feels, you know, because from playing for so many years in a band, you know, we would go on and especially towards the end, our last song would be one that we had written, one of the first songs, you know, when we got together. So it was, you know, 10, 12 years on. And
imagine how like Aerosmith.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly the point I was getting to is, you know, you think about, you know, a band like Aerosmith or Rolling Stones or, you know, in my wife's wheelhouse, Hall & Oates, you know, how tired they might be of playing Rich Girl, but yet they still do it. And, you know, you're like, oh, this is awesome, I'm into it. And they're like, I've played this 10,000 times, you know, but they're up there and they're doing it and they're tearing it up, you know? And so that's kind of the cool thing about having any type of, I don't want to say performing, but just, you know, getting up and being on a stage in front of people, be it, you know, speaking about your experience or in my case performing or whatever, is there's a certain energy that you can derive from that, that, you know, maybe you don't have it even that last minute before you step on stage, and once you're up there, you know, it just, it overtakes you, you know, and it's a good feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And personally, I see it as performing, and I used to think that, like, oh, my story wasn't as inspirational enough, or there wasn't like enough like meat to chew on. And from my background in theater, one of the most important lessons I had to learn was it's not necessarily the content of the script, but the how you deliver it, how you present it to the audience. I mean, like my teacher, acting teacher, would literally have us read from a phone book and try to sell it, try to like say it in a way where you have the objective. It's not necessarily the words, but how you have an objective. And the objective for my speeches is basically to, first off, get the audience engaged and take them on that ride, the ebbs and flows, the peaks and valleys, but to get across that I'm bipolar and that's not the end of the world. And I'm also not trying to promote this false narrative that things get all better and you're fine. Look at me, I'm a public speaker, I have it all together. But no, I have to like to scratch and claw my way up to where I am, because there's been so many times I've been denied, whether it's been to speak at a conference for an award or to even collaborate with someone. I've sent out so many messages to people just to get nothing and just feel denied. And I refuse to do that now. It's going to happen, but I'm going to refuse to let that stop me, because one door closes, I'm going to be knocking on 10 other doors. And I try to get that across to people, that no matter what kind of adversity you have, you can still be I was going to say the ASS word, but you can be one bad mofo even with all these adversities. Like it's possible, but we're just constantly have this reinforced that we're sick and we can't do certain things, or certain things are going to be worse for our illness. And no, like, we have to try. Like, we're going to fall flat in our face. What we have to learn is part of living is finding out what works and discarding the stuff that doesn't work.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
So for those people that aren't familiar with the Mighty, talk a little bit about that, and then the Mighty itself, and then what you do for them.
Yeah, so the Mighty, themighty.com, facebook.com/themighty, facebook.com/mentalhealthonthemighty. It is basically anyone can submit their story of lived experience with either mental illness or chronic illness, cancer, autism, all kinds of other disabilities and illnesses and diseases. And that's the great thing about it. It's from people's own experiences, their own words. And basically, it's one of the greatest things in the whole world. I can't say enough great things about the Mighty. And one of the great things is that they have their office in Burbank, California, which is about like a 50-something minute drive from where I live. And so I go down to their office once a month to interview people on Facebook Live. I got to interview their CEO, Mike Porath, in January. Then I've interviewed filmmakers, other advocates, even people outside of the mental health community. And I intend to continue that next month and the month after. Last month, I was at the American Association of Suicidology Conference, where I got to interview all these amazing suicide prevention advocates in person, which was amazing. It's a great thing. I got to interview Sarah Schuster, which is a past guest of yours, mental health editor on Saturday. I got to get her takeaway of the experience because we were both there for the full conference. So these kind of things I wouldn't normally be able to do without the Mighty, and they've been good to me. I was selected by them. Well, actually not by them. I was through nominations. To be one of their mental health heroes of 2017. And that was one of the most amazing things that's ever happened to me, because I come from a place of constantly doubting myself and feeling like a failure. So when things like this happen, it's like, oh no, other people see it. They see the work that I'm doing and they appreciate it. And I can't deny that. I can't pretend like stuff like that doesn't exist. So whenever I'm hard on myself, I have to remind myself to that. I have to go back to some of my Facebook posts, some of my Facebook messages and emails of people saying all these great things about me. Like, I've had people that have messaged me saying, like, I shared my story of bipolar because I read all of your posts. I've been following you. I got that from someone about a week ago. I had never interacted with her at all. Like, I don't think I've ever seen her in the comments or liked any of my stuff. And she said that, and she shared with me her blog of her coming out story of bipolar. That was like, oh my God, what am I doing? I must be doing something right.
Yeah.
So it's the Mighty, a good feeling. Great group.
Yeah.
Mighty's awesome.
I have an article that, because I contribute for the Mighty myself, and I have an article that I wrote for them that's pinned to my Twitter profile that people really, really seem to enjoy. It's a letter that I wrote to my 19-year-old self that was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of positive feedback on that. And, you know, I think people are... The more people that are coming forward and talking about what they're going through, it's hard to explain. It's such an amazing process because, you know, it started out and just like a pebble in a pond and, you know, some ripples floated out. And now people are throwing like boulders into the pond and the ripples are spreading out for days, you know, and the more people that come forward, the more people that come forward, essentially.
Exactly.
And it's been amazing. Now, you were diagnosed with bipolar disorder as well. How do you find that now versus when it was a new diagnosis for you? Do you feel like you've learned more about it?
Yeah, and I did a lot of education back then, reading up on basically everyone in the bipolar world. I would email people, and thankfully a couple of them would email me back and make me think like, oh, okay, people see me. Like, these are real people that are open to engaging with people. I didn't realize at first, like, this is a whole community. There's so many amazing people, and they talk to each other. They support each other, promote their stuff. And that was a big boon. That was like, you know what? I'm all in. I'm sharing my story. Because at first, before I discovered the mental health community, I was like, oh God, bipolar. It's just like, this is going to kill me. Like, I can't deal with this. I feel so alone. Mm-hmm. None of my friends get it. None of my family gets it. And then I found this community. I felt more inspired, more empowered to share my own story and to add to the conversation. At first, I just wanted to listen. I was too afraid to add my own input. And now I feel like I can do that. I feel like I am a voice, that I do have influence, which is a good thing and a bad thing. But I'm constantly learning. I'm sure I'll look back on stuff that I've written and produced like now where it's like, oh my God, like I was so uninformed, but that's just part of living. So I'm constantly moving forward, evolving my views on bipolar. But I think right now I'm confident with just saying that I am bipolar. I know there's a lot of push for first and first language, all that stuff, but I don't see it as a bad thing. I also don't see it as a good thing. I just see it as part of who I am, and I'm doing all I can to make the best of it. And it's not easy. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's not like, yeah, like, oh, bipolar. Let's everyone should be bipolar. It's the greatest thing in the world. No, it is what it is. And I'm doing all I can to live with it and live my best life. And if anyone tries to say like, oh no, like you're not bipolar. It's this horrible illness and you need to like take more meds and all this stuff and you're doing this and that. No, it's like, I guess like that's just part of the job, I guess, to get criticism like that, but bring it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one thing I found out for certain when I put my book out was there was going to be, I was a first time author and I wasn't anticipating negative reactions, not the type of negative reactions that I got anyway. When it's a story, it's your life essentially that you're talking about, and people are coming back and saying, oh, she's just a narcissist. This is bullshit stuff.
iHeartRadio's listening.
Yep. Yeah.
this is terrible and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it really hit me hard. It threw me for a loop. I was ready to take the book off the shelves and hide in my bed for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So, it takes some getting used to for the negative stuff to kind of filter into the right direction.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's a matter of, you know, pulling what you can from the negative stuff and trying to glean some good from it. But, you know, or rising above it, you know, and saying, well, you know, this person doesn't know me. They don't know my story. Mm-hmm. They're making assumptions based on their life experience. You know,
that's why the book's called It's Not
Your Journey.
It's mine.
That's right.
So what does the future hold for Rika Saris?
Being the only 5-time guest on Voices for Change 2.0. I guess.
Well,
we're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like maybe next week's guest counsels, and I can just do it every week. We'll see.
You know, we still have to work on that adoption too. By the way, little reminder there.
That adoption.
Yeah, you remember he wanted us to adopt him.
I do not recall.
Oh,
that.
Oh yes.
That's it. I remember that.
by all means, it is not too late. Trust me. You'll get some of my VA benefits too. There we go. So the future, I think the future, like I'm obviously going to still doing what I'm doing. I'm not going anywhere as a mental health advocate, as a public figure. I'm going to continue with No Restraints. I'm going to keep building that up more and more, even if I have to just spend my own money. Like I love it. I love it. And I'm just like fully committed to that. There's no turning back. And I want to evolve it. I want to do more in-person interviews, especially when I'm traveling. I don't want to use travel as a reason to not do a show on a Friday. I want to do more surprise episodes. Like I had a bonus episode last week with Kevin Hines, and that was like at Fox Studios. I've never done anything like that. So I love switching it up, and like it's just, I want to interview different kinds of guests. So like when I interviewed Dan Fisher yesterday, he's got completely different views than some of the other guests I've had in the past, and that's fine. They're my guests. It's not like they're presenting my own views, because that would be boring just to be talking to a mirror. So I want more more guests like that, to switch things up, present new views. I think that's my greatest strength, to bring people together, not to live in harmony, because that's futile, but to bring ideas together, to have these discussions in a way that's productive. I know things can get kind of nasty on social media. People can write hateful comments and stuff like that. That's just part of the job, I guess. But I'm going to do all I can to keep moving forward, bringing people together, whether it's in person with This Is My Brave, through video and Facebook Live, through Brave Chat Live and No Restraints and The Mighty, doing in-person interviews, public speaking. I want to do more writing. I've actually only written 5 pieces for The Mighty. I know it looks like I do a lot with them, but I need to do more writing. I don't think I have a book in me quite yet, but maybe like when I'm like your 10th time guest, I'll have a book in me. We'll see.
That would be a reason to have you back for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely keep pushing the writing, because I love your writing style. You know, it's great the views that you have and how you express them, and I enjoy reading it. You know, so definitely, hell yeah, go for it.
Great. Can I do some shameless self promotion?
That was going to be our next question, was for you to shamelessly self promote.
Yes, shame. So once again, I'm Rudy Caceres. I'm the host of No Restraints. On the live stream is facebook.com/RudyCaceres. And if your Facebook is not your thing, that's totally fine. They steal your info and privacy anyway. Go on to I love Facebook. I meant the videos on my website, which is RudyCaceres.com/no-restraints. I'm doing like the hyphen thing like in my hands, which you can't see, but go check that out. Rebecca and Joe will be gracious enough to post the link on there. So if you go to the website, you'll actually see all the episodes in reverse chronological order, because I post so much on my Facebook page that it can be hard to kind of seek those all out. So go to the website. They're all there. I actually got to post like yesterday's episode. I usually post it like a few hours later, but hey, I'm traveling. It's my vacation time. Don't give me a hard time. So go check those out. Twitter, Instagram, @RudyCaceres. You can also follow me on Facebook. Go check out the website. Go send me a message. Slide into my DMs. I love it hearing from people, and feel free to engage. I love doing that. I practically live on the internet, even when I'm traveling. So those are your go-tos. Actually, go check out thisismybrave.org. And even if you're not in my area, go check out other shows. There's shows going on all the time. Like I think there's a Bentonville, Arkansas show yesterday. There's a Boston show on Monday. Go check it out. Great organizations, themighty.com, obviously. And go follow Rebecca and Joe on Twitter as well. Go buy their book.
And let's spell your last name out for anyone who isn't certain on how to spell it.
That's CASERES. Caceres. I get all kinds of fun pronunciations, so that's just part of it. I don't think I can change my name at this point, so whatever. That's your fault that you haven't learned it yet.
My one claim to fame was the first time you were ever on, I pronounced your last name right.
That's right.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I did a podcast episode not too long ago where they had to do like 3 different takes because they couldn't get my name right.
Oh, jeez.
It's not that hard.
No, it's really not. You know, it's not like, you know, Lombardo. You wouldn't believe the spellings and pronunciations we get.
Yeah. Lots of Lombardis.
Yeah, yeah.
No, not related to him.
No. Oh, well.
All right.
So
well,
this
looks like,
time passed by.
It does. It does it definitely quickly on this show. We're so happy that you're with us on Rudy. You know that we love you, and you know that we're just huge fans of everything that you do, and you know, so proud of the fact that we know you, and you know you have a very strong voice in the community, and it's for us, it's truly an honor just calling you friend, and you are absolutely welcome on the show anytime. You know this. We just couldn't say enough good things about you, and, you know, just we love you.
Well, I love you too. You're both my friends, and like I'm always glad to do this show because it's not work. It's fun, and we play along. And I can't say enough good things about you. I appreciate the ongoing support. So yeah, I can't wait to have you on the show this coming Friday, Rebecca. You're gonna have fun because it's for your own good.
It's best for business.
That's right.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to sign off here. Rudy, hang on for just a minute. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yep. This is.
Please enjoy our final song. Yep. Sam Harris, My Reclamation.
When the river is too wide to cross, and the water raging too fast, when we see the destination but cannot make our way, we will build a bridge of brotherhood and cross the river at last. When the air is cold and black with hate, and the fog of condemnation burns our eyes, when the shadow of oppression keep us hidden from the sun, you can climb upon my shoulders until we reach the skies. For it is not enough to want and need it, and deserving doesn't make it true. I believe hate fails and love prevails. Take a stand, demand justice overdue. Singing, no one can take what is not theirs to give. No. I am weary of hostility, and I am saddened by the ugliness of fear. I'm confounded by morality that builds a bitter wall, but I will bear my heart to you so all the world will hear that it is not enough to want and need it, just to forward and to lead. I believe hate fails and love prevails. Rejoice the choice, take our voices to the street. Singing, no one can take what is not theirs to give. No one can break you or choose how you live. And I don't need permission to have what is mine. This is my reclamation.
Don't miss the Mental Health Memoir of the Year, It's Not Your Journey. It's Not Your Journey is the true story of one woman's 20-year battle with mental illness and her recovery from a suicide attempt in 2013. Rebecca Lombardo candidly reveals her real and raw emotions in dealing with depression, bipolar disorder, the loss of her mother and brother, and more. Pick it up today on Amazon.com or visit www.RebeccaLombardo.com for more information.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.